The Israel Report with Rolene Marx.
Rolene Marx, good morning. How are you?
Well, happy, happy birthday to you. I'm not going to sing live on air.
Thank you. We all appreciate
that. Your ears in private.
I'm just going to say, no, we got headphones on in studio, hey? You know, we don't want to break any of the equipment, Rolene.
Exactly, exactly. But watch the space, because some bad singing will be coming to you. And of course, you can send all your ear trauma bills straight to me.
Consider yourself blocked straight after this segment. But all right. So let's talk. Let's talk human rights. United Nations Human Rights Council. Apologies. We're going to say that in inverted commas. Let's talk about this. Give us the background. Tell us what happened, and let's talk about this.
Okay, well, first of all, brace yourself, everybody, because I think this is going to be a feisty one. So buckle up and let's get going. As we were talking about on last week's edition of the Israel Report, one of the Commission of Inquiry's investigators, Milun Kotari, his other two cohorts are Navi Pillay, we know all about her, and of course, Christopher Sodotti, who we discussed last week, who made that comment that Jews throw around the accusation of anti-Semitism like rice at a wedding. Nothing anti-Semitic in that at all, Howard and listeners, but after immense pressure this week from at least 20 countries, including for once the Scandinavians, even across the sea to Brazil and Central America, Guatemala, led by Israel, the United States, and many, many other countries expressing their absolute disgust. Quite telling to see Switzerland breaking with its normal neutrality to condemn his anti-Semitic comments. Belgium as well, for once, coming into the fray. So what did Milun Kotari say? Milun Kotari said on a podcast with Mondo Vice, also not known to be the greatest Israel lovers, that not only doesn't he see why Israel is included at the United Nations, but he said that Jews control social media. Now, of course, he was supported by Navi Pillay. He was supported by Francesca Albanese. She is the UN Special Rapporteur to the Palestinian territories. She said that it was a smear campaign. I think that there is no misrepresenting those comments. We heard what we heard, despite Navi Pillay saying that his comments were misrepresented. So after a week of intense pressure, because we also heard from Antonio Guterres, he's the UN Secretary General, the President of the UNHRC, condemning the comments, the former Special Rapporteur, Ahmed Shahid, a great, great friend to the Jewish people. He was the special rapporteur on the freedom of religions, saying that this is absolutely appalling and that the United Nations needs to adopt IRA, as well as Miguel Moratinos, the high representative for the UN Alliance of Civilizations, a UN agency that works to combat anti-Semitism. I've had the immense privilege of participating in sessions there, so can vouch for their commitment to that. Everybody condemning Milun Kotari. So yesterday, he published a letter of apology, as you said, in inverted commas. Should we unpack some of the points that he made?
Yeah, let's go through that, because I also read it very, very carefully, and I thought it was a very interesting way that it was written. So take the lead on this.
Okay, so he begins by wishing to clarify his comments with Mondavas. He says he wants to sincerely express his regret and unequivocally apologize for using the words "the Jewish lobby." The offense I've caused by using these words has deeply distressed me. He talks about how he prides himself on his work as a human rights activist and defender, and that his whole career has been dedicated towards fighting discrimination, inequality, and injustice, and I stand by these ideals and therefore take with the utmost serious concerns that my words were perceived and experienced to be anti-Semitic. Well, if he did take human rights so seriously, he wouldn't have said that in the first place. He says, My intention was to denounce the relentless and vitriolic personal attacks against the members of the Commission on Social Media and some publications launched to delegitimize and undermine its work. It was completely wrong for me to describe the social media as being largely controlled by the Jewish lobby. This choice of words was incorrect, inappropriate, and insensitive. So let's take a look at that, because there he is taking a direct jab at organizations like UN Watch, like the Conference of Presidents, like the World Jewish Congress, like so many Jewish organizations around the world who have taken great umbrage that the Commission of Inquiry, having three commissioners that have expressed either anti-Israel or anti-Semitic views, which are the same in our estimation. He has taken a direct jab at that. And to me, he has also gaslit Jewish concerns that their comments, their actions are in fact anti-Semitic.
Well, Raline, I think it goes even beyond that, or maybe it doesn't go beyond it. Maybe it's more simple than that. He's apologizing for the words that he used. He's not apologizing for the concept, the idea, and the belief that the Jewish lobby controls social media. He doesn't say that they don't. He doesn't say, or that they don't say that this was, you know, obviously, it's patently or blatantly untrue that the Jewish lobby controls social media. What they're talking about here is the wording. In other words, had he used Zionist lobby, perhaps he would feel a lot more comfortable. It's just the wording that he's apologizing for. It's not the concept. It's not the belief.
It's not the concept. And again, he doubled down and points his fingers at Jewish organizations. Now, one thing that we can thank Mr. Qatari for doing is exposing that anti-Zionism is in fact anti-Semitism, and he has laid bare for all of us to see the blatant biases of this Commission of Inquiry, which Prime Minister Lapid and various others have called on the United Nations to dissolve. Now, the Secretary General says he doesn't have jurisdiction or authority over the Commission of Inquiry, but did express his concerns. So then he goes on to say, I also wish to clarify that my comment on Israel's membership of the United Nations was made to highlight the fact that every member of this body should uphold and respect findings and recommendations issued by it in accordance with relevant UN General Assembly resolutions. I wish to highlight it is the non-compliance of Israel with UN decisions related to its obligations under international law, a concern the Commission extensively covered in its first report to the Human Rights Council. I don't know about you, but maybe I'm missing those points where other countries are called out for their so-called non-compliance. But again, it's the focusing of on the state of Israel, the abdicating non-state actors with inside the Palestinian territories of their committing terrorist acts against Israel and Israel's right to defend themselves. He says, at no place in the interview did I question the existence of the state of Israel. Well, I disagree. If you say that you are doubting Israel's right to be a member state of the United Nations, you are in fact questioning Israel's right to exist as a sovereign state and be part of the family of nations around the world, or am I maybe misreading that?
It's just a phenomenon. How has this been received? I mean, has this been accepted as a form of an apology? What's been the reaction?
Well, I just want to read one more point. He goes on to say the Commission does not question the status or United Nations membership of either of the concerned states of its mandate. The foundations for the legality of the State of Israel alongside that of the State of Palestine, there is no State of Palestine, were laid out by the General Assembly Resolution 181 and never will be questioned by this Commission. However, he did say that. Well, his apology has been dismissed by Israel. Israel have said that it's pathetic and unconvincing. And organizations like UN Watch, like various others, have also dismissed it as a non-apology, and have basically said that the only reason that we have this sham of a apology is because he basically was under pressure to do so.
So this is what Hillel Noyer says from UN Watch. He says, condemned by the world for anti-Semitism, UN Human Rights Council Commissioner Miloun Kotari's non-apology letter argues his remarks were not anti-Semitic, but only perceived and experienced to be such. And this is what he says, I've always condemned discrimination in all its forms. He's quoting the letter. Hillel Noyer goes on to say, what a scoundrel. Has there been any comment from Navi Pillay? Because now that's a bit confusing, because she said it wasn't anti-Semitic. Now he's apologized for it. What do you think she's going to say, if anything, in this regard?
Well, her lips are firmly sealed. There haven't been any letters forthcoming from Navi or their co-panelist, Christopher Sadotti. But I'm sure I would like to be a fly on the wall behind closed doors when the three of them get together to have a little bit of a gander over some coffee, Howard.
Absolutely. They should do it on Tisha B'Av, because it is perfectly appropriate that they do so. It is 7:55. There was also a cartoon recently released on by If Not Now that I have to tell you took my breath away. Can we talk about that for just a moment?
Well, my head almost exploded this morning when I saw this cartoon. So let's put things into context here. First of all, who is If Not Now? If Not Now they call themselves a progressive Jewish organization. In my opinion, I don't even think they are Jewish, because maybe I'm wrong, but I don't know. Do you say Kaddish for murdered Jews, or do you say Kaddish for dead Hamas terrorists like they do, Howard? Mm. Or, I don't know, maybe do you hold Haftalah in the middle of the day on a Saturday without wearing a kippah? Or lighting a plate of
talk about,
I don't know, maybe I'm just misreading it.
Talk about cultural appropriation. But tell us about the cartoon.
So earlier this week, there were elections held across various states in the United States. And in one state, we had Haley Stevens, a Republican, versus Andy Levine, also in the camp of calling himself a progressive, but considers himself a friend of Rashida Tlaib and Ilhan Omar. You see where I'm going with this. Now, he was supported by a group called Emily's List, who poured in millions of dollars to support him. And Haley Stevens was supported by AIPAC. So instead of conceding defeat graciously, organizations like If Not Now, another one we have is Peter Barnard, who's also in their camp, and who used the words powerful entities. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I would like him to qualify what he means by powerful entities, because it sounds to me like he's been reading a certain book with, you know, certain anti-Semitic tropes. I don't know. That's just me. But If Not Now's cartoonist this morning has put out a cartoon. If you go back to the images we saw on January the 6th in the United States last year, there was a Trump supporter wearing a T-shirt that says Camp Auschwitz. Basically, there is a cartoon of an image similar to that. And the caption reads, "How do you do, fellow Democrats? Like you, I support strengthening Israel, burning down Congress, and ending elections in America."
So what this is effectively is a very evil-looking right-winger with a T-shirt that says Camp Auschwitz, holding a vote Democrat. But he's got a very, very evil – he's wearing a red cap, which obviously is an allusion to the Trump campaign, and he says, how do you do, fellow Democrats? Like you, I support strengthening Israel, burning down Congress, and ending elections in America. So it's almost designed to undermine Democratic support for Israel and creating a fear that the any support of Israel is connected to right-wing white supremacy, and that it's going to effectively end democracy in the United States. That's the extent that this goes to, and bring a Nazi regime to the United States because of their support for Israel. It is absolutely breathtaking.
It is breathtaking and so profoundly offensive. And I read the comments underneath it, and they're equally appalling. You're going to be called an anti-Semite. Now, right-wingers are going to call you an anti-Semite. It's absolutely preposterous. It is offensive on so many levels, and it's astounding that social media platforms allow this to continue to be published.
It really is absolutely, absolutely bizarre. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for. Aline Marks, thank you as always. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom. Wishing you a meaningful fast on Sunday, and we'll catch you next week. It is 8:00. I'm Howard Feldman. Good morning.